Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's open them to 1 Peter. We're going to start there tonight and travel a little bit. This is bread. And I don't eat supper on Sunday night till after church, and it really smells good. Now, bread is not an accident. Bread is the result of a definite process that starts out right here. It's something I've got in my pocket. You can hardly see. These are grains of wheat that I picked this summer when I was out in Kansas. Now, this is where bread all started, but this is not bread. But you see, God has some definite laws. If you want a crop, there's a process to getting a crop. Very simple process. First of all, you get soil, and you get your soil ready. Then secondly, you decide what kind of crop you want. Now, if I wanted cornbread, I would not have planted this. I would have planted some other kind of seed. You see, you decide what kind of crop you want. You prepare your soil, you pick the kind of seed that you want, and then you plant the seed, and then you watch the soil, and if you wait long enough, you can pick the crop that comes in, and from that, with a little earth procedure, you can have that which you want. Now, the Lord has shown me this past week that this is exactly the procedure that we are to use in our life. Bread is not an accident. Bread is the result of a definite process by laws which God Almighty has set in motion. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read this verse and we weren't too successful at it, so maybe I didn't illuminate it enough. And I believe the Lord has given me the answer to this. To be like Jesus, to have the temperament that Jesus had, to act like Jesus, to react like Jesus, to feel like Jesus felt, is what it means, is the object of the Christian life, to be like that. Now, he said in here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me be very kind to you tonight and say this. If you don't have a desire to be Christ-like, you're either not Christian or you're a bad Christian and you're in bad shape. That's the way that I have to say it to you. Because if God the Holy Spirit dwells in you, one of the things that He does is creates within you a desire to be different, to be better, to be holy. You mightn't have put it in those words, but there is a stirring within you, and you are dissatisfied with yourself like you are, and you want to be different. I say this kindly, if there is no desire in you to be different, if you are satisfied with yourself, and if you are proud of yourself like you are, there's a very, very good chance that there's something radically, spiritually wrong with you. But I have come to believe that most of the people who come to church on Sunday night are people who at least have an inkling within them, a desire within them to be different. Now, how do God's promises make us different? How do God's promises make us different? And I want to take you through tonight a definite process, and I want to either give you one illustration, maybe we'll get somebody up here tonight, or maybe we'll just get a couple of illustrations that I have written down here. That we could follow after now. But we'll do one or the other. I haven't decided which one yet. Maybe we'll have a volunteer. Somebody says, I want to be different in this area. And we'll get them up here, and we'll begin the process tonight. Now, it's a generally accepted fact by anybody that knows the Bible that if you have enough faith, you can do anything. And anybody that has enough faith ought to begin with themselves, to do something with themselves, because we need it worse than anybody else. We need it. And if you had enough faith tonight, you could conquer that temper just like that. If you had enough faith tonight, you could keep your mouth shut when you ought to keep it shut and open it when you ought to open it.
If you had enough faith tonight, instead of being irritated with that person, you could be loving to that person. And so it's all a matter of faith. There's a great principle that's laid down that goes like this. Be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. And the Bible gives us a very definite way of getting faith. Open your Bibles now, turn them back to Romans chapter 10. Now, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it tells us how we get faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And a simple translation for that would be put down like this: faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Now, in order, you see, when you start studying the Bible, and this is what the Lord's doing for me in abundance these days, and it's just exciting, He starts to weave the scriptures together, and you come up with the ways of God. And what we're going to do tonight is to come up with the way of God whereby we can become Christ-like in any area of our life. Now take your Bibles and turn them back to Mark chapter 4. Remember, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Now, I have preached in this chapter before, but really one needs about 3 hours to study this chapter. We studied it in Savior 70 last spring, and I consider this to be one of the most powerful chapters in all of the Bible. It's a chapter on how to hear. Now, in this chapter is the parable of the sower, and Jesus is teaching about how His truth, how we can hear right. Now, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, right? Now, if I can hear the word of God right, I'll have faith, and if I have faith, I can do anything. So, the big question is this: how do I hear the word of God right? Now, let's find out what it says in the parable of the sower. Look in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Now, the seed that's needed is the word of God. That's what we need. The seed we need is the word of God. Now, when the seed, you see, the miracle of bread is simply this. You take seed and you plant it in the soil. And there is a dynamic in the seed and there is a dynamic in the soil. And if you put seed and soil together with patience, you get wheat that makes bread. That's what it takes. Seed and soil and patience. Now, you know, not just soil, prepared soil. The Bible says, and if we had time to get into the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, you know what the Bible teaches? That the soil is the heart. Now, let me give you something that's absolutely fundamental, and you just remember this. Whatever you put in your heart, not in your mind, now there's a difference, whatever you put in your heart, that's the kind of person you're going to be, because out of the heart are the issues of life. The way you act is because of what you are in your heart. Now, there's a simple truth. We're going to begin to put it all together, and it goes like this. If I can plant certain seed in my heart, then I'm going to get a certain crop out of my heart. And you see what Bill was saying tonight about this music. You can't listen to this kind of music without reaping some kind of harvest from this kind of music. And that music becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your heart. You're going to reap what the results of that music is. There is a law in life that if you put seed with soil properly prepared, that you're going to have a harvest. Now, some of you are sitting out here tonight and saying, oh God, I want a harvest of patience, because impatience is ruining my home. Some of you are saying tonight, God, I want a harvest of love, because bitterness is ruining my life. And every person in here tonight, all you need is a harvest of that thing that you picked out. That's all you need, a harvest of it, where there is an abundance of it flowing out of you. Now, God has got law. Now, there are two ways to get faith. One is the gift of faith that God only gives to a few people. But the other one is the grace of faith, which God makes possible to every person, which is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. Now, how does the Holy Ghost produce the fruit of faith in our lives? He produces it through the seed of faith growing in our lives and growing up. Some of you say tonight,
Let me just mention a few of the problems. I wrote down three things. The mouth problem. Most of us have a mouth problem. Some people open it all the time and need to keep it shut. And some people are scared to death and never open their mouth when they need it. All kinds of mouth problems that people have. Some are nasty mouths, some are fearful lips, some are open mouth. There's the sex problem. And there are all kinds of sex problems. And then the last one that I mentioned as I prepared this, and I don't know whether we'll follow this procedure tonight, it's a fair problem. I just wrote down three common problems that most people have in one form or another. Now, if you've got a problem, and if you haven't, you're like Jesus, and I wish you'd come up and take over because you've done a lot better job and I'd like to listen to you. And so you can just rise up right now and come on down. And if you don't, I'll just take it for granted that everybody in here's got a problem. And I think I can be safe in saying that every one of you got a bunch of problems. That's why I asked you to pick out the worst one. Now, here's what I'm saying to you tonight. If you can prepare your heart and plant in it the appropriate seed, which is the Word of God, and if you can keep your heart prepared, unless God's wrong and His Word's wrong, there ought to be a harvest of that thing in your life. Now, I want to show you a very wonderful scripture in this regard. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Oh, this is true. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 20. And here is the formula set up. Let me tell you how I arrived at this. And this will really interest you. I was called upon, at least I think Danny was called upon, he mentioned it to me, that the staff was called upon this week to pray for someone. And I was thinking, now I came down and I was praying back here, Lord, how can I pray for that person? And the Lord helped me to realize that I did not have enough faith to pray for that person, and I was wondering, now how can I get enough faith to pray for this particular person? You say, preacher, I didn't know you were that weak. Well, I am. And if you've got enough faith to pray for this particular person, you come see me, and I'm sure he'd be happy to have you pray for him. You know, the proof that you have enough faith is that the person gets the help that they need when you pray for them. But I just realized I didn't have enough faith for this particular problem in this particular person. And my heart was concerned. What do I do? I don't have the faith to pray for this particular problem. You see, don't be disturbed. There are some areas in which you can have a lot of faith, and you can completely be defunct in other areas. For instance, in this matter of divine healing, Baptists have had faith in the power of the gospel, and we've seen souls saved because we've had faith in the power of the gospel. But when it came to divine healing, the average Baptist doesn't have any faith in divine healing because the seeds of the truth about divine healing have never been planted in his heart. And so he cannot have any faith in that area. There are many Baptists who can trust God for money. They have learned to faith God in the matter of tithing and giving. And they see miracles wrought in their life. But you take them into another area and they're absolutely, completely floundering around because they don't have any seed or any harvest in that particular area of their life. Now, because you don't have faith in one area, it doesn't mean that you don't have it in another. And so what I'm talking about tonight is that quite obviously you don't have it in that area where you've got the problem or you wouldn't have the problem, right? So we want to try to find out how to get it in the area in which you have the problem. Now look here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my word and incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them where? In the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For, now listen to this next verse here. A couple of key words in here. For they are life unto those that find them. You got to find them, first of all. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. There is a healing from just putting the Word of God in your life. Keep thy heart. Now here's the warning, because your heart's the soil. You see, a farmer, after he has planted the seed, all he concentrates on is the soil, keeping it right. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't let anybody plant sand spurs in your heart. Don't let anybody plant anything that's derogatory in your life. But you plant in your life the words and the seed of God. And it says this, look in that verse again, verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them. Now let me make this practical tonight. And rather than calling in someone, or maybe we could even get a volunteer, but I won't do that tonight. Let's take the problem of fear. First of all, if we have time, we'll get into some other problems. The first thing to admit is that you've got a problem of fear. And you just say, now, I've got a problem. I am full of fear. And in case you don't understand what fear is, I'd like to give you a modern word for it. It's worry. Okay? Worry is fear. Okay? That's right. It's fear. Now, if you want to get rid of fear, what you need to do is to get some seed and plant it in your heart so it'll grow up and crowd out that fear, and there won't be any fear in your life, and you can get rid of the fear. Now, you see, we've got here a seed store. That's right. You know, a seed store. It's got seeds for anything you need in order to become like Jesus. That's right. This is a seed store. It's full of seeds, of all kinds of seeds, which will make you like Jesus. Now, the first thing that you've got to do is to prepare your heart. Soil that's unprepared is not good for the seed. And the very first thing you've got to do is to prepare your heart. And a heart that's pure, and a heart that's holy, and a heart that's right is a prepared heart. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight is absolutely useless unless you're willing to turn your heart over to the Lord. It doesn't make any difference what you put in your mind. A lot of you know things are wrong, you go ahead and do them anyway. A lot of you know that things will hurt you if you do them that are wrong, you go ahead and do them anyway. What a man really lives by is what's in his heart. What's down in the very depths of his being, what's closest to him. Now, you see, many of you have religion in your mind, you haven't got it in your heart. You see, religion is something that you check off in your mind, but you're not sold on it. Because what's in a man's heart is what's most important to him. And so it's the turning of my life over to the Lord Jesus and saying to him, Lord Jesus, you take my heart and make it yours. And that's exactly what he'll do. He'll start to make your heart. Now, he'll help you get out of the sins. And he'll help you get out of the problems of your heart. He'll work to get all the dirt out of your heart, get the soil cleaned up. He'll break your heart. Most of us need to have a broken heart. We need to have God run his plow through it and break up some of the hard spots in our life. Now, let me say this to you. God's just sitting back, waiting for you to ask him to help him prepare your heart. But before he'll do that, you've got to take your heart and you've got to give him your heart. And you say, now, Lord, here is my heart. I know it's the soil and I've been planting things in it. And I've got crops with sand spurs. Worry is a terrible sand spur, isn't it? It's always jiggling you, no matter which way you move. And, you know, it's like sand spurs. You pull off one, you find you've got another. And worry is a terrible thing. And you see, we have been planting in our hearts the seeds of worry. And we have had a harvest of worry. Now, what should a person do? What should a person do who has got fear in their heart and they want to get rid of this crop? The first thing you ought to do is to turn your heart over to the Lord, which means to turn yourself over to the Lord. But that's not all. You say, preacher, I've done that and I'm still worrying or I've still got the problem. Okay, now the next thing to do is to find seed to plant, right? I'm going to plant some tomatoes in a little while in my backyard. And I don't expect to get okras, I expect to get tomatoes. Now, I'm not going to plant okras to get tomatoes, I'm going to plant tomatoes to get tomatoes, right? And that's what I ought to plant to get tomatoes. Now, let me tell you what. Now, see, I'm a pretty good farmer. But here's the thing. Most of us know that. You say, that doesn't make much sense. Well, how come we're not doing the same thing with the Word of God? Now, what I need to do is to find the right kind of seed. And since this is a seed catalog, I need to start to go through here. And the first thing I need to do is to find the seed. The next thing I need to do is to plant the seed. The third thing I need to do is to keep the soil prepared and just wait. And there has got to be a harvest because it is a law of God, just as certainly as it is with tomatoes, so it is with the truth concerning the Word of God. And any person in here tonight that wants to overcome any problem that you've got, if you plant the right harvest, the right seed in your life, you will be victorious if you just wait till the harvest comes, because the seed is the Word of God. And when that seed, look at this tiny little thing right here. that makes a whole slice of bread. Look at it. You can't even see tonight. It looks so insignificant. But I can take that and plant it in the soil, in prepared soil, and out of this will come forth bread. And you know, the multiplication of this one seed could eventually bring a whole harvest and many, many loaves of bread. And I'll tell you something. You want the loaf of bread of trust that you can enjoy rather than the sand spur affair? Okay, I'll tell you what you got to do. You've got to plant the right harvest in your heart. Now let's get some seed, okay? What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. Now you need to make a collection of seed. And of course, the more seed you've got, the better harvest you've got if you take it out of the package and put it in the ground, right? Now, you've got it in the package. But you see, God's hidden his seed. I don't know why he's done it like he has, but he's done it like he has. And I'll promise you one thing, if you start looking. You know what I've done recently? I've got me a stenographer's notepad, and I've written on the outside, my seed catalog. And then in here, I turn open the first page, and I got me there's something I want in my life. I've written it here, and then I write a scripture. And I'm going to tell you what I do with it in just a few minutes. But you see, there's some things I'm going to have the victory in my life. Not because I'm going to grit my teeth and say, I'm not going to be nasty anymore, I'm not going to be nasty anymore. But because I'm going to follow God's law of the harvest. I am going to plant in my heart some seed. And I'm going to keep my heart right. And then it's up to God to do the rest, just like he does the rest with wheat. There's the miracle of life in the seed with the soil. There's the miracle. Let me say this to you and put it very simply. There's a miracle when the Word of God is planted in a person's heart. There is a miracle. There is just as much a crop. Now, oh, I tell you something. As far as the Bible is concerned, when it comes to this matter of faith, I tell you something, there are handfuls of seed that you can get. You see, just handfuls of seed that you can pick. Now, what you need to do is this. I'd start out small. Most of you want to start out big, and that's your problem. And like I said before, here's what I want you to do. Pick up six or seven seed, okay? Six or seven seed. Let's just look at a couple of them tonight. First of all, let's look at Isaiah 66. 4. Now, you're going to take this seed, and I just give you a few of the seed. Now, here's a warning about this matter of fear. And it's good to have some warnings and some admonitions. Here is the curse of fear. Now, it would be good for you to plant in your heart how terrible a thing worry is, which is nothing but fear. I will choose. I also will choose their delusions. God speaking in Isaiah 66 and verse 4. I will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighteth not. Now you memorize that. Remember the one I told you I'm memorizing for my weight? If you wonder why I'm wearing these white pants, I told somebody tonight, these are my down clothes when I'm going down, see? I have a set of clothes when I'm losing weight, I have a set of clothes for the middle, and I have a set of clothes for when I go up. But I'm going to burn the ones for the up, because I'm going to stay down. But you see, one of the scriptures I've memorized about this matter of food is this, for meat destroy not the work of God. Now, you see, I've hidden that one in my heart. For meat destroy not the work of God. And I've about four verses there. And another one I've memorized. That he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And they do it for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. And I've memorized about 20 verses that have to do with eating. There's a good one I've memorized from Proverbs. It goes like this. When thou sittest down to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is put before thee. And put a knife to your throat if you be a man given to appetite. You see, and another one that really encourages me, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. And another one that encourages me, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which is here. See, so I've taken these seed. I've got me a collection of seed out of here, just as strong a seed as I could get because I needed it. And I put it down here. Now, here's a seed that says, if you plant fear, you're going to reap fear. And God's going to send it upon you because it's the law of God in your life. Now, let's look another verse, Proverbs 29. We'll just give you some of them that you could memorize. Here's a good seed. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man, and this is what most people are afraid of, other people, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now, you say, preacher, how in the world can this change me? Well, I don't know how you can put a little teeny thing like this in the soil and end up with this. I don't understand it all. I don't know how a little thing like this plus dirt comes up to this in the long run. That's a miracle. And I praise God for the miracle. I'm going to enjoy part of it after the service. I'm not worried about the process. And I don't quite understand how I can take. You say there is much to that verse. It's real simple, right? And there isn't much to that seed. But planted in the soil of your heart, it'll explode. It'll just absolutely, positively explode. Okay, let's look at a couple more scriptures. This is just some of the seeds that you could plant in your heart. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Oh boy, look at this one. This is good. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. This would be an excellent seed to plant in your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you how to plant it in just a minute. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil, from worry about bad things going to happen. That's what that means. Okay, let's go back to the Psalms now. Let's go to Psalm 34. You see, what I have done is this. I've been through the Bible. I've been seed hunting for anti-fear seed, for trust seed. You see, you want a trust is the opposite to fear. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. That's a good one. That's an all-inclusive one. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Okay, let's look at another one. Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8. Oh, boy, this is good. Man, here's a real seed. You plop that in, and you're going to get the results. Look at it. Psalm 112, 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy. You see, here again is another promise for deliverance from fear. Okay, just one more quickly tonight, and then I want to explain to you what to do with the seed. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And by the way, if I were going to study this particular one, I'd learn 5 or 6 verses around this one. Many times it's not good just to learn a verse, but learn those in context. They come usually in little groups of 3 and 4 and 5. And when you realize what this one says, but look in verse 31, which is just the key part of this right here. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You don't have to be afraid because you're more value to God than the sparrow that flies out here. Now just back up for the last one to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And 34. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't be worried about tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, let me say this to you. Here's what I concern. You see, God only deals with concerned people. I've got some sand spurs growing in my life, and there's a law in nature that says this, that soil is going to grow something. You look out here on this hill, the janitor has weeded that hill 5 times and weeds are still growing. You know why? Because he hasn't planted anything in its place. And you can pull out the weeds of worry. You need to plant something in its place. Now, a concerned person is going to go who really cares, who wants to be different, And he's going to go through the Bible and say, Lord, lead me to the seed. Now, the first thing that you do with the seed when you get it, this seed, is to put it in your mouth. Now, let me tell you, you can't get to your heart without going through your mind. It's absolutely impossible to get to your heart without going through your mind. So the first thing you do is this, is you take this seed and you memorize it and you put it in your mind. You get it fixed in your mind what it says. Just plain, outright memory. Now, I used to rebel. People used to suggest to me that I memorize the Word of God, especially my mother, and I was rebellious at her, so I didn't want to do it anyway. I didn't like the idea of memorizing the Word of God, and I was rebellious at her, and so that gave me about 15 excuses for not doing it. But she was absolutely right about the value of memorizing the Word of God. But you know one thing that I never had was incentive. I couldn't see any sense in just sitting down and memorizing scripture. Just couldn't see any sense in it. But this has given me fantastic incentive to memorize the Word of God, because I see what's going to happen. I know if I plant wheat seed, there's going to be a wheat harvest. I know that. And I know this, that if I plant the Word of God in my heart, the appropriate Word of God in my heart, there is going to be a harvest. Now, here's how you move it from your mind to your heart. Now, you know you can memorize something. Every one of you have done it for school for an exam, and 2 weeks later you couldn't remember one thing about it. I used to have to do that for history. I hated history. I was uncommitted to history, and still am, and my apology to every history teacher in here. I couldn't stand history, but I had to pass history to get through school, so I had to memorize. And oh, we had terrible teachers. You had to memorize dates and all those English kings, you know. King so-and-so and queen so-and-so and all that sort of stuff. Well, you know something? My heart wasn't in it, just my mind. And I got it in my mind for the exam, and when I got it over in the exam, I flicked the switch and it was all gone. I can't remember a bit of it. But you know something? The things I enjoy, the things I put in my heart stuck with me. Would you like me to quote you a little Shakespeare? We used to have to memorize Shakespeare. I've never forgotten some of the Shakespeare that I memorized way back 30-odd years ago. Memorizing Shakespeare way back. I've never forgotten it because there was some of it I genuinely enjoyed and put it in my heart. Now, here's what you do. You plant the seed in your mind. You memorize it. That's important. And it's important to get it in your mind. Then, as we said last week, you start to meditate on it. Now, meditation is going to move the seed from your mind into your heart, and it's going to keep it in your heart, in the center of your heart. Let me just go back to this matter of Proverbs again, in Proverbs chapter 4, and I would underline those because this is an expansion of what this says. Listen, it said, my son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, some of you have done that tonight. But here's the next step. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now, let me tell you what that means. Read them over and over and over. And it says this, keep them in the midst of thine heart. You keep them at the center of your life and say, I want this victory. And you start to meditate. You start to personalize these scriptures and you start to visualize them. For instance, this scripture says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee. Now, you know when you go to eat somebody high up, they always put on a great big, you know, a great big feast. Well, you know something? You know, they fix food. It's not that we fat people are hungry. I mean, it's not that we need food. It's that we're greedy. You know, I mean, we have to have it, not even when we're hungry. Now, I visualize myself sitting down at one of these big feasts like some of you have tempted me with. And I visualize that knife at my throat. And I picture this thing. And you know what I do? I take these scriptures, and almost every morning, I've got about 15 or 20 scriptures about this, I roll them over in my mind and my heart, and I memorize them, and I repeat them, and I say them out loud, and I keep them before me. Now, what have I done? I have planted truth in my heart. Now, as I keep them in my heart and I keep my heart clean so the weeds don't grow up, the law of the harvest says that those little insignificant truths are going to grow up and bring forth fruit in my life And this particular problem of wanting to eat too much and wanting to do this, you know something? Automatically, you know what's going to happen in my life? I won't have to fight it anymore. Automatically, this harvest will come up in my life and I will have victory in this particular area. Listen, folks, bread is not an accident. Bread is the direct result of following the laws of God. And having victory in your life is not an accident. It is the direct result of, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let me make this practical and then we're through. You've got a problem. You've got lots more problems than you. I'm just thinking about the one you've got now. Handle one at a time. Well, I guess some of us in here are fighting the same problems we were 10 years ago. Or last year. And we're being whipped and whipped and whipped. Now you zero in on that problem. And you zero in again. It says, by these precious promises, you can become a partaker of the divine nature. Now, you need to hunt up some scriptures. And I think this. I could easily. In fact, I think Danny, even one time, I asked him to prepare a list of 7 scriptures on each problem so we could give them out to you. But I won't do you any good. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to take your pickaxe and go digging in this gold mine, okay? And come up with some nuggets, okay? And after you come up with those nuggets, then you start to fashion them into the things that you want. Or let's go back to the seed principle. You're going to go through this book, and you see, here's the value of reading the Word of God. I notice that God points up to me the things I need. And you see, if you look in my Bible, you see all that underlining in my Bible right there? It's God speaking to me as I read His Word. He just lifts those things out of the page and He points them out to me and shows me the things that He wants to show me in His Word. Will you go searching in this book? Take that problem. Now, I want to make some just definite suggestions. Get 7 scriptures. 7 areas of scripture, maybe more than one verse each, that relate directly to your problem. The first step for you to do is to find them. The second step for you to take is to memorize them, just learn them, so you can say them. Now the devil's going to fight you with everything, but you remember something, the word is the seed. Then the third thing is this, you start to meditate, and to meditate is to chew the cud. You've got it in your mind and you bring it up, and you sort of roll it around your mind, chew it up a little, visualize it, personalize it, swallow it back, bring it back up, chew it again each day. And I'll tell you something, that's putting it in your heart. You keep your heart clean, and listen, there's no struggle. You don't have to make up your mind, I am not going to be afraid anymore. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. You see, there'll be a harvest of trust that will spring up in your life, and you will begin to have this. I'm absolutely, positively sure about that. The man that so blessed my heart this week was a man that God used greatly in the matter of divine healing. And he said this, and this was really helpful to me. He said, don't go out and pray for somebody that doesn't even know what the Bible says about healing. It's impossible for them to have faith in regard to healing until they know what the Word of God. You see, all of faith is based upon the Word of God. Every bit of faith is based upon the Word. It is impossible to have faith without the Word of God. And when you put the Word of God in your heart, then faith begins to come. And wherever faith is, there can be all the victory that you need. And so, the miracle of good bread is the miracle that takes place in seed and soil. And the miracle of a holy life is the miracle that takes place when exceeding great and precious promises are found and taken and implanted in my heart, and my heart is kept clean and pure, so there'll be no weeds to grow up and to choke out the wonderful, blessed harvest that God has given. Let's pray. I really do not know. I have prayed and I feel absolutely confident that the Lord has given you enough light tonight to follow. There's enough light to follow. And God usually gives us enough light for the next step. And I would say that the next step for you is to get to looking for the Word of God and to start to hide it in your heart. Then God will perform the miracle of the seed and the soil. And in your life there will become transformation and revelation You see, as the seed of faith grows, that little insignificant verse becomes a mighty force in your life, a mighty renewing, changing force in your life, changing things that are there within your life. But it's got to be planted in your heart, and your heart has got to be kept clean. And this refers to any area of the life, any area of the life at all. Before you could be saved, you had to hear the gospel. And it was the word of God that brought enough faith into your life for you to trust Jesus. And before you can be sanctified, you've got to hear the truths of the word of God. And as you have the word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit, listen to me carefully, uses the word of God as building blocks to produce faith. And when you have faith that comes from God, everything is possible to him that have faith. But the Holy Spirit has to have the building blocks of the word of God in order to produce faith. The Holy Spirit cannot produce faith outside of the will and the word of God. He cannot do it, and he will not do it. So it's a matter of hiding God's word in our hearts. It looks like to me that there are well over 800 people in here tonight. Can you imagine 800 people in here tonight taking this thing seriously and tackling that problem? Can you imagine from removing from the scene in our homes and our community 800 personal problems? Can you imagine how Christ can take over in our lives in a greater, fuller, richer way when we are willing and able to do this? There's no magic to this. There are laws that God has set down, eternal laws in his heart. And now as we close tonight, we have one testimony for just a few minutes before we close, but before we have that testimony and we close tonight, I want to ask tonight, are there any people in here tonight who have a heart problem? You've got a heart problem. It doesn't make any difference what kind of seed you've got. If you haven't got the soil that's ready for the seed, then it won't do any good. Some of you've got a hard heart. Some of you've got a sinful heart. And you need to get that heart cleansed tonight. You need to have the blood of Christ that cleanses our heart. You need to have the forgiveness of Christ and the cleansing that Christ gives. And you can have that tonight. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking, we won't even play the music tonight. But if you'll say tonight, I've got a heart problem, and I need my heart fixed up by God. I don't know whether it's you've never given your heart to Christ. I don't know whether it's you've allowed sin in your life. I don't know. You've just got a heart problem. And you want someone to pray with you tonight concerning this heart problem and to explain to you how Christ can make your heart ready to receive the word of God so that you can have an abundant harvest tonight. If you've got a heart problem and you want someone to pray for you, I'm just going to ask you where you are to get up out of your seat and to come and to indicate. Someone will go in the back with you and pray with you concerning this heart problem, that you can get your heart ready to plant the word of God within that heart.